If you have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to start tonight and just read one passage of scripture. It's actually not a lot of verses, and I want to just break those down and bring you to a point where I'm at, but also where I believe God wants us to be at. It's a burden. It's something that I walk through. It's something that I want to obtain, and it's going to come through a little bit different lesson than maybe you think tonight. So turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at 13 through 16, and may the Lord add his blessing upon this word tonight. This is what it says. And they were bringing children. Who's they? Disciples. Everyone say disciples. The disciples were bringing children unto Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And Jesus took all the kids in his arms and he blessed them and he laid his hands on them. This is the word that I want to speak to you tonight. It's simply a word called like a child. You see, when we begin to look at this passage of scripture, you see that the children were brought unto Jesus that he might touch them. If I could just set it up like this, this is kind of Janelle and I's response to parenting. Our goal is to put our kids from the time they were born in them little diapers all the way up until they're grown adults. Is the goal is to constantly put them at the feet of Jesus. So every church service, every prayer meeting, every vacation Bible school, every camp, every opportunity that we get to bring our kids to the feet of Jesus, that is our responsibility. We can't save them. We can't baptize in the Holy Spirit. We can't baptize them in water. We can't do the miraculous things that God wants to do in their life. Our job, our responsibility as parents is simply to bring them, like the disciples, to the feet of Jesus. And maybe you have kids out there today. I know many of you have teenagers, and teenagers are some of the roughest years. Come on, Cindy. They're some of the roughest years in parenting. And the goal is simply to do, just like Mark chapter 10 says, is to bring them to the feet of Jesus that he might touch them so that they can be close to him. Right now, there are 100 teenagers from Freedom Church down in Maypearl at Lakeview Camp. Some of your kids are there. My kid is there. And the goal right now is for them to come to the feet of Jesus that they may be touched, changed, and transformed. Because one spoken word from him is way more than the 50 dad's going to give, is way more than the 150 mom's going to give, is way more. Because we all know girls use more words than guys, right? It's way more. It's way better. So they're bringing them to the feet of Jesus. But watch this. What do the disciples do? The disciples rebuke them. They said, get out of here. But Jesus, he turned and saw it, and it says he was angry, he was annoyed, and he said the opposite to what the disciples were doing. He said, no, come on. Let the children come unto me, for do not hinder them. Don't block them. Don't put up a wall between me and them. Let there be nothing in the way between what I have and what they need. For such belongs to the kingdom of God. Look at what Jesus was saying. Jesus just gave a big, bold yellow highlighter and highlighted to us a key to the kingdom. He said the key to the kingdom is simply what? Coming in as a child. Coming in as a kid, coming in at that level. This was highlighted. This is what he wanted us to see. This is what he intended the kingdom to be all about. He wanted to know, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a childlike demeanor. Don't cast them aside. In fact, you're angering me and annoying me. Bring them to me. But then watch what he says. He wasn't speaking just to the disciples, and he wasn't just speaking to the small children that are around. He actually turns the script and speaks to all of us. And what did he say? He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Wow. This was a scenario that was on the side of the mountain, right? This was a scenario that was in a village, and here we have Jesus and these disciples and these children, but all of a sudden, Jesus points his finger at all generations and said, I'm warning you, if you don't enter my kingdom as a kid, as a child, you will never inherit it. You will never take hold of it. You will never seize it. So here's a key to our faith. Here's a key to Kyle's personality and demeanor is to come in like a child. So what was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that we need to what? Accept this generation for who they are and what they do. To not turn around the kids. He's giving us a sign that we should always be about the kids. Yet he's also showing us that maybe, just maybe, that he's wanting us to maybe become just like them. So there's a double-edged sword in this quick passage of scripture. So why did the disciples rebuke the children? I have a couple of scenarios here that I just want to work through. The disciples rebuked the children. Number one, simply this, is because they thought Jesus was spending wrong time with wrong people. That all of a sudden, what began to happen? Jesus was spending too much time with tax collectors, too much time with children, too much time with sinners. They thought Jesus was going to make it and rise to the Savior's title, to the high place through politics, through authority, through all kinds of weaponry. But Jesus said, I'm not coming in like that. In fact, I'm showing you right now, disciples, come on, unlock your lids and let us see into the kingdom that what? I'm not coming in through those ways. I'm coming in through the kids. So this is what the disciples saw. They saw that Jesus was actually seeing the time with the right people. Second, we see that Jesus was what? He was saying, the disciples were saying that sometimes kid can be a bother. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Eddie? Come on, these kids, they can't be obnoxious, right? They come in with their snot noses, their crusty eyeballs, their stinky selves. Come on, kids can be a bother, and sometimes they can become a bother in the church, but Jesus is showing to us that the kids matter. They're not a bother. They are priority in that they're there. Why else did the disciples push away the children? Because the disciples thought that they were next, not now, and Jesus was showing to them that this generation that's in front of us is now. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're also the church of today, and they need just as much attention as the people in their 70s and 60s and 50s and 40s. Come on, every kid in this church matters. The ones that come from great families, the ones that come from homeless families, the ones that come from rich families and poor families, and it doesn't matter the color of skin families, that Jesus is saying, they're not just next, but these kids that are coming to me, they are now. These kids are now, but also I think the disciples pushed them away because I can kind of have the same attitude sometimes as disciples, is they're too mature. They're too obnoxious. They're too innocent. They're too irresponsible. They're just too much. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometimes, not Freedom Church, but sometimes the church operates the same way as the disciples. They kick the kids out and just focus on the older, and they just focus on what's it now. And I just came to ring the bell tonight because in July is all about kids, because right now I told you there's 100 campers down in Maypearl, Texas. In just a couple of weeks, we're gonna take two trips down to Maypearl again with some older elementary school kids and then some younger pre-K kids. We have three camps going on in the month of July. And what I came to tell you is that all of those kids matter just as much as me and just as much as Bryce and just as much as our deacons. And just as much as our board of elders, they matter. Jesus is simply saying that these kids matter and we shouldn't push them away. They have to be priority and their lives count. Not the church of tomorrow, the church of today. So I just wonder if you would stand with me. Would you just stand with me? I know it's awkward, usually set for about 20 minutes on a Wednesday night. You're like, why are you asking to stand right now in the middle? Because I want to do something right now. I want us to pray. I want us to pray for our kids. Right now at 7:46, and I know camp, I was down there for 20 years, and right now they're probably about to end worship, and the preacher, the evangelist, is about to come up and take a black microphone just like this and stand on the stage and declare the word of God, and then he's gonna lead them into an altar. You know what we need tonight for our kids to hear from God? You know what we need tonight is for our kids to be called into missions. You know what we need tonight is for our pastors, come on, to begin to rise up, Pastor Andrew and Joel, and begin to lay hands on those kids and see them tonight baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know what we need? Some of those kids to come home and that little addiction to marijuana go bye-bye, and that little addiction to pornography and lust go bye-bye. You know what we need tonight? We need a Holy Ghost move of God in Maypearl, Texas. But you know what else we need? We also need it in our fifth graders and our third graders and our second graders, and we need it in our kindergartners, because if we can start to pray right now, God will begin to put them at Jesus' feet, and we will see revival in our young people. Why? Because the devil's coming after them with everything he's got. He's coming out with everything we've got, and we better go after them with everything we got. So would you raise your hands right now, and would you begin to cry out? Come on, pray over the kids of this church, the teenagers of this church. Some of them, they're your kids. You better pray. Come on, you call them by name right now. God, do a work. Come on, some of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak in a prayer language. Come on, you begin to pray in that language right now. That language is the perfect prayer. God knows what they need right now. Come on, they're ending a worship song right now. Come on, pray. Come on, let's ask God. God, do the work. Call some of them to go to India and be missionaries. God, call some of them to go to Mexico and be missionaries. God, some of them are going to be pastors right here at Freedom Church. God, you're going to raise some of them up to plant churches, to start nonprofits. Some of them are going to be professional athletes. Some of them are going to be doctors and lawyers and architects, or whatever the call you have upon their lives. Lord, I pray that tonight you put a dream inside their lives. And Father, I pray these kids would come back cleaned up and sin out of their lives, that they would be holy, they would be righteous, they would be pure, they would be innocent, they would be separated unto God. Tonight, God, we pray for the next generation of Freedom Church, that they would be separated, holy, and dedicated unto you. This generation matters, God. Father, don't let Freedom Church be like the disciples and push them away from your feet. Father, may we get out of the way and let all distractions be gone so that they find you. They find you. They find you, God. Let it happen. Let it happen right now in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, would you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. Hey, thanks for praying. Thanks for praying with us for this next generation. You can be seated just for a second. Now I want to ask the question. Then if Jesus was not just talking to the disciples and the kids that day, and he was talking to us, then what is he trying to say to us? What kind of childlike faith does he want Kyle to have, Peter to have, Chris to have? What kind of faith should we have? It's this kind of faith. I just got seven quick things I want to run by you that as I've watched my own kids grow up, I've watched kids in the shopping malls and in the stores and kids in the church and kids all around the neighborhoods. These are things that I think that we can spot in children that we need to establish in our own hearts and our lives. Number one, they have this incredible faith. They're just almost gullible, aren't they? I mean, come on, I don't want to ruin it for any of you, but isn't it stupid that they believe in Santa Claus? And yet they do. They believe that he's coming down the chimney, in all of our chimneys. They believe he's going to eat those cookies and the carrots are going to be for his reindeer that fly in the air. I don't mean to spoil it for you, but kids are so gullible that they believe in this Easter bunny that poops out eggs in your front lawn. And they're gonna go around with a basket and pick it up. I mean, kids are crazy enough. When my kids were small, I'd simply say, hey son, did you know that I could jump over that mountain? And at 3 years of age, you'd be like, yeah, my dad's a superhero. He can jump over mountains. They have so much faith, incredible faith, that's so gullible. Number two, I see that these kids, man, they have something that you and I have lost. They have this thing called wow and wonder. Today I had lunch with a guy in our church. His name's Amir, and he brought his two-year-old son with us, and we were driving down the highway, and a big motorcycle, Harley Davidson, drove by. Rah, 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 just like, and you should have seen that kid, that two-year-old, that I see. Nah. I said, did you see the motorcycle? He goes, yeah. He went crazy, man. You know what I didn't do? I didn't go crazy for the motorcycle. We went into like a little Chick-fil-A and they had this playground. And guess what he did when he walked in? He spotted the slide and all the little stuff they had in the playground. He's bolted. He didn't care about the chicken sandwich, the chicken nuggets, their waffle fries. He just bolted right to the playground. You know what I didn't do? Bolt to the playground. Why? Because this kid has something I don't have anymore. He has this wow and wonder in his heart that just is surprised by things. God wants that in us. That when we walk into this room, it's not normal. That when we walk into his presence, we're not used to it or accustomed to it. God still wants us to operate
and a little wow and a little wonder, to have a little faith. Come on, this incredible faith. But you know what we do sometimes? We step back and we don't believe anything. Somebody comes up on the stage and they tell their testimony that God healed them of cancer, and we step back and we're all cynical in our minds and say, that probably didn't happen. They're probably making up a whole bunch of stuff. We hear all kinds of things, and we get older and we become cynical and crusty and arrogant, and we're not moved anymore. And yet God's saying to us tonight, he wants some faith mixed with a little wow and wonder. That when the person gets up on the stage and says their life was transformed, that it moves you to tears. How about when we still tell the story of Jesus dying on the cross, and then he took the crown of thorns on his head and the whips upon his back and the nails were in. Come on, that should do something to us. The wow and the wonder of what happened, we should still be moved. We should still be moved. And every Wednesday night when we take communion, when we take that wafer and we drink that juice, that it does something inside of us. We're still wowed. We're still in wonder of the cross. I see number three, the thing that kids have is just this ridiculous forgiveness. They just forgive, don't they? I don't know about you as a parent, but I've made a lot of dumb mistakes. And those kids, when they were little, they would just say, "It's all right, Dad, I forgive you. It's all right, Dad, it's okay." You know what they didn't do? Hold a grudge against me. But you know, we get a little older, Russell, don't we? And we start keeping track, and we got Excel sheets of how many times the wife's right and we're wrong, and she's wrong and we're right. And we start keeping records of everything. But you know what kids don't do? They don't keep records. In fact, they don't even know what an Excel spreadsheet is. There's a little bit in that we need to adopt into our own lives, is that we need to learn how to forgive almost to a fault, that God inserts grace and mercy into our lives. And we don't just do this in our own family, but we do this with each other, because often in life, whether it's a coworker or a family member or an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a brother or sister, or come on, even harder, a mom or a dad, we hold the grudge longer than we should. And every time we're around them, there's a wall, there's division. You know, kids don't do that, man. They just don't live like that. They forgive, and they forget the way God wants. Do not hinder these. Let them come in. Why? Because such is the kingdom of God. Forgiveness. Number four, I see the kids, they're just ridiculous. They're friendly to everyone. I met Agape today. This is Amir's son. His name's Agape. He's 2 years old. You would have thought from the first time I saw him, I was his best friend. He just walked out of the car and came to me and started running and his arms up. He was laughing and he jumped in my car. And you would have thought we'd been best friends for 25 years and I only met him 2 minutes before. There's something about that, isn't it? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these, that what? We walk into this church and we're friendly to everyone, no matter the color of skin, no matter how you smell or don't smell, no matter where you come from or what your background is. Come on, there's just something about God wanting us to go into the kingdom, to be like a kid, that we are friendly to everyone. Those kids, they don't know any better, do they? You see them on the playground. In fact, today, there's this little boy, his name's Agape. I was watching him on the playground. He was looking out and he was kind of starting to boss people around. He's like, "Hey, you come here. He's like, putting an arm around, you go there. And then they're going up the slide and down the slide and up the stairs and going all across the place. And he's kind of out there in just a minute, made so many friends. About 6 kids out there on the playground. And before you know it, little Agape, he was going all over and made all these friends that were climbing up and down. He had never met these people before. But what do we do as adults? They are distance. It's so hard to talk to people. We put up walls. We feel like we're too good. We act sometimes we're superior or inferior. Oh, I can never talk to them. But that's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom works as friends and family to everyone. And Wallace, that's what God wants us to be. Come on, fifth thing, I see this. I saw this a lot in my own kids. They become instant experts about everything. They begin to, you know what I'm talking about. You got those, like literally you teach them to hammer a nail And then they're showing everyone how to hammer a nail, right? You teach them how to vacuum, and they're teaching everybody how to vacuum. My son with a golf club, right? Put a golf club in his hand when he was really, really young. And then now he's trying to teach everybody how to hit a golf ball. And so there's this thing that happens when they're young that once they find out something of their own, something they can do, they want to share with everybody. And oh, how we sometimes as adults do a little bit of the opposite, don't we? This becomes my greatest secret. This secret's gonna become my greatest success. This thing's gonna make me become a millionaire, and I'm gonna hide and hold instead of share. We start closing our hands instead of opening our hands and letting what God gave us then be a resource and help to other people. And we can learn a lesson from kids tonight that they become experts at sharing. Oh, you see them just at Chick-fil-A and McDonald's, don't you? They get their Happy Meal, and they're a little sly. They're sly because they don't want to what? They don't want to eat it all themselves, so they'll come up to you, and you'll be like, you want a fry? Oh, I see what you're doing. Hey, you want some of my hamburger? You want some of my chicken nuggets, right? And they begin to share, partly because they didn't want to eat it all themselves, but they begin to share with everyone. Wow, what a lesson that you and I can learn about entering the kingdom of God. Number six, this is what they do. They do this. My kids have to do this all the time with me. They do meaningless tasks just to be with you. Doesn't matter what we're doing, right? These kids are tagging along. You're going and you're paying the taxes. Come on, kids are along. You're going and you're painting the fence and the kids are along. You got to come up to church. Yesterday, my son was with me all day at the church. You think he really wanted to be here? No, but he just coming along. They're with you through the thick and the thin, doing ridiculous stuff. And we know as adults, sometimes we try to make it fun, don't we? Like, hey, you want to play a game and wax the floor? Hey, you want to play a game and come out and wash the car? Hey, do you want to play a game? And all of a sudden you make these meaningless tasks, what fun and game-like, and all of a sudden the kids are in. And yet, what do we do as adults? We sometimes sit back and like, no, we're too good for that. We don't need that. I'm a little superior to doing those things, but this is what God says. He says, hey, I want to do some stuff just for you to be around. I want to just be around you. And sometimes we duck out, we hide. And God's saying, I just want you to be around and watch what I do. Listen, every time we come to church or every time we come to a small group or every time we go and read our Bible or pray, it's not going to be fireworks and it's going to just be awesome every single time. There are going to be some dud days. There's going to be some boring days. And God's just simply saying, hey, to enter my kingdom, I just want you to be around. I just want you to be here. Lastly, and we're done. LA, you can come on and start playing. Number seven, we see that these kids, they have tireless energy and hunger to do more. They're nonstop. They're nonstop. They go 90 to nothing. They want to run so fast and so hard, and often they fall asleep at the most inconvenient times, right? They're going and going and going, and they're hungry and hungry and hungry. And there's a lesson in that. That God wants in us a continual pursuit after him, to be hungry for more, to have tireless energy, to keep coming back and to keep coming back. But all of a sudden we get to this place in life, don't we? And we get a little crusty. We get a little complacent and we stop going. We stop working so hard. We stop reading so much. I remember when I first got saved, I had a little blue NIV Bible. I read that thing cover to cover as fast as I could. You know what I haven't done this year? Read this thing as fast as I could. I'm telling myself a little bit, aren't I? Because why? There's something that happens. The older we get, we lose that childlike faith. We use that pursuit, and tireless pursuit after him. Tonight, I just wonder if we could ring out the words of 2 Chronicles. So scripture says, it says, the eyes of the Lord are there, seeking to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. So what is God saying through all this tonight? He's saying, hey, I want you to pay attention to the next generation, but I also want you to be a lot like that next generation. I want you to have faith. I want you to have wonder and awe. I want you to be an instant expert and start telling everything about what God's doing. I want you to come after me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want you to do what I'm calling you to do. I want you to be faithful. I want you to share. This is what God wants us to do, to come in like a child.